Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Welcome to another riveting edition of Early Call Time.
Wow, look at that exciting energy.
It's Sunday morning and it's 1,000 degrees outside.
So many degrees.
Yeah.
Across the studio, we have Kelly Jackal.
Hello, hello.
I was going to say, is that how you pronounce your name? And I was hoping you'd say, you mean Kelly? But,
oh, you know. Well, you mean Jackal?
Yeah. Is that how you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. No one knows.
It's starting
Jackal,
over.
Jackal might be, might sound actually cooler than Jackal. So.
Yeah. Well, see, you corrected me, and I'm glad that you did.
But yeah,
I apologize.
Jackal it is.
I don't know. So, like, you meet people, like, I think I met you through Michael Hoy.
Yes.
And I don't know if he pronounced your name correctly the first time.
You know, there are people who I know so well who, I mean, I hope they know how to pronounce it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they think it's Jackal.
Yeah. I mean, because there's not the Y in there to make, you know, the feel.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, there used to be an umlaut over the A.
I was going
to
say, you need a...
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it would be cooler, again, if we had that.
Right.
But
right.
Lucky family. Our name is cool.
That's awesome.
You can't bring that back and just start putting it in?
I thought about it.
That'd be
it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, is it German? Because
mm-hmm.
with the umlaut? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Sweet. All this room full of Germans. Cool.
Right on.
Cool.
Excellent.
Well, we're having you on the show. I've known you for, gosh, a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the Carpool web series pilot
mm-hmm.
that I put together. Thank you very much again.
Yeah, it was a blast.
And now your career is like blowing up, which is great.
Well, I keep finding work, and I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in Pitch Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You're in Pitch Perfect 2
mm-hmm.
soon in, what, 2015?
Yep, May 15th, 2015.
Already has
nice.
A release date. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly enough, you're in Scorpion, the pilot of Scorpion, which I'm working on now.
Yeah.
And so when I saw you in dailies, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Kelly. So I immediately emailed you, and,
uh-huh.
and so we wanted to get that ball rolling. So
yeah.
tell us about Scorpion. What was it like working on Scorpion?
I mean, it was great. Ilias Gable is so talented, as is Justin Lin. And I just had a day of work playing a nuclear physician, which was super cool because I've definitely never played that before.
Right on.
I'm not even sure in my real life. I don't think I could even be that yet. But I remember going into the audition, and it was supposed to be originally a 36-year-old, and I was like, huh, well, I don't feel like that's for me.
Right.
But then
right.
all of a sudden, I mean, here we are.
The magic of TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you guys got to record at Frank's restaurant in Burbank.
Yes, we did.
Oh, nice.
And which, if you guys are familiar with Frank's or Burbank in general, Frank's is a diner that I swear it's trapped in the 50s still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the waitresses are still the same people that were there, you know,
oh, yeah.
20, 30 years ago. So it's...
And I mean, shot about 7,000 things there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like every time I pass, there's a production truck and there's
yeah.
lights and...
Makes
you know.
Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... But it's a cool location. Is that the first pilot that you've worked on, or have you worked on other pilots in the past?
Carpool.
Carpool.
But, it is the first pilot. I recently shot a few days on RAs, which will be a web series for Hulu. It wasn't the pilot. It was a later episode.
Gotcha.
But yeah, first pilot. So
that's
really fun.
That's great.
Awesome.
And Andrew worked on a pilot recently, and he's kind of talked about it every once in a while. But like... With the, because you were there for a day for the scene,
mm-hmm.
Could you see how much pressure everyone was under to try to get things done, or was it pretty relaxed? Or
there was quite a bit of pressure. I feel like it was a bit of a time crunch to get everything shot. I mean that
mm-hmm.
yeah.
that pilot is so involved. It is so
yeah.
so much going on and so much action.
Yeah.
that I'm sure they were. A little stressed. I mean, I don't think it affected the work or anything. I think it...
Did you know what the show was going in? Like, did you read the whole script before you
yeah.
shot? So you
yeah.
kind of knew what was going on.
Yeah.
You've also... Well, we briefly talked about Pitch Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
How was it like working on a big movie like that? Like, with advertisements,
I mean, it's everywhere. People go nuts over that movie.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's really fun how much people have seemed to latch on to the first one. And I think we're all really hoping that all those people will come out and see the second one.
Yeah.
I'm sure you will.
It was so much fun to film. And it was great the second time around because we all knew each other already.
Sure.
We have two new Bellas this time around.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But for the most part, we'd all worked together for months already a few years ago. So yeah, it was just sort of jumping back into things. And it was the same choreographers. Elizabeth Banks was the producer last time, but she directed this time. But we were familiar with her already. So right, it was nice.
What was that like working with her as a director? Because everybody's used to seeing her as an actress. And so,
right, which and I believe, she did both.
Yeah. Yeah, is this her first directing?
Yeah, feature debut.
Yeah, like mm-hmm, that's a big deal.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
And it was great. I mean, the first movie was sort of her baby. She was developing it for years.
Yeah.
So she had so much passion for the project, wants it to be the best it can be. I mean, most directors do, hopefully.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
But no, she was just, she was around as an executive producer every day, all day on set as well. So it was just a more involved role for her.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Another movie you were in was 42.
It's true.
You played with, you acted with Harrison Ford, which is...
Well, not in the same scene.
Okay, I'm sorry, I haven't seen the movie. All I saw was a picture of you and Harrison Ford standing together.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's awesome, I have to ask.
So that was actually at a Dodger game.
Right.
That he, it was Jackie Robinson Day, so we were honoring the movie.
Yeah.
And it was also the week it came out, and so I sang, and I believe he was throwing out the first pitch.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
They didn't let you throw out the first pitch?
One day I would love to. I've sung there a bunch of times, which has been so fun every time. I absolutely love singing for the Dodgers. But I don't know, I feel like I could throw a baseball pretty well.
Yeah. It's what, 45 feet, something like that? I don't know.
Sure.
I'm not a baseball person. So. And I read that Harrison Ford plays your great-grandfather. Is that right?
It's true. Yeah, Grand Cherokee.
I mean, obviously you know your great-grandfather. Maybe you didn't. I don't know.
I never met him.
Okay.
I've heard lots of stories, though.
Okay.
We have a pretty big family, and he was sort of a patriarch figure within my family.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, that's cool to see, like, your family on screen in a fashion. You
yeah,
know?
It was pretty cool. The story has been developed for years within different film ideas, and I just felt very lucky that it didn't get made until now because,
right,
you know, it was supposed to get made like 10 years ago. And at that point, there's no way I would have been able to audition for a role in it.
So sure,
it was great timing for me.
How did that work out? Like, I mean, that's such a interesting coincidence that...
I went in for a few different roles and then just ended up as the babysitter.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Character name was Alice, which was my grandmother's name, who was Brent Rickey's daughter. So it was sort of a little fun family thing. We just gave me the name Alice.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Huh. Well, you go on auditions a lot. You said you auditioned for this movie. And what's an audition like for the most part? When you're doing for like a feature or, I don't know, is there a difference between TV and film?
Yeah, absolutely. And it depends on the genre as much as anything. But, I mean, for me, you can get sides, like, for your audition anywhere from a week before to 6:30 p.m. the night before. And then, so it's always exciting. And sometimes you have to be a flake to your friends and say, oh, sorry, I just got this audition last minute. And if I don't study tonight, I won't get it.
Right.
There's no chance.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, if they're your true friends, they'll understand.
Yeah. Like when you get it, you'll buy us drinks.
Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have to put yourself on tape often?
Yeah, often I do that as well if something is casting in New York.
Do you have a preference in terms of going in person and being in the room with someone or?
I like going in person because then if they want to give you some direction and have you do it again in a slightly different way, they can do that. Whereas a tape, you know, it's fun to make my own decisions, but then there's no chance of correcting something maybe they didn't like or so putting myself on tape. I mean, although, you know, if you screw up the first time, you can redo it. That is the nice part about putting yourself on tape. I don't know. I like the energy of having humans in the room.
Right. It makes sense. I've mentioned this before on earlier other podcasts. Is you know, it's as an editor, it's nice to have the director in the room for the same thing. Like, you can show them this and, like, how can we change it? Like, how would you want to change it? And I'm assuming that it's similar in fashion. We're like, okay, well, can you try this tweak?
Right,
and,
exactly.
In your performance. Right. And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
This podcast is educational as well as entertainment. Sure. Entertaining. I don't know.
It's very entertaining.
Is it? I don't know. People listen, so, which is good. But we like to educate people. So where did you come from as far as how you wanted to, you know, did you want to be an actress early on or did you want to sing? Because I know the sing-off is a big thing
which
I marked down.
It's coming back for a fifth season, which is exciting.
Oh, it's a fifth season?
There's a fifth season this December. I grew up singing first. I loved it. I don't think, you know, when I was little, I necessarily knew that I wanted to do it as a career.
Right.
But I loved it so much that, you know, I would demand that my family come to the living room and watch me sing lullabies for them. Because that was the only thing I heard when I was, like, three.
Right.
And so I loved performing early on. And then my brothers played sports, and the entertainment isn't really in my family. So they stuck me in choir in third grade.
Right.
They didn't really know what to do with me. Plus, I'm from Sacramento, and there are performing arts outlets, but it's not a huge, you know, industry in Sacramento.
It's not like L.A. where you can send a kid to school, and that's all they do is sing and dance all day.
Exactly. And so I grew up playing sports as well, the same sports as my brothers, basically, and soccer and basketball and swimming and all of that. But I remained in choir, and then I started doing theater in high school and fell in love with it. In college, I got a little scared, because that's a scary industry.
Totally.
Yeah.
I got scared of not having a backup plan.
Right.
And so I did end up studying communication, and I took some internships in the industry behind the scenes because I thought, acting and singing don't work out, maybe I'll work behind the scenes.
So did you do any films in college?
I did one student film, but I mostly just took classes in the acting school and then started taking classes towards the end of college with different teachers in Los Angeles outside of school.
So when you were doing the classes, was that... I mean, I know a lot of people are doing classes to, you know, hone their acting skills, but it's kind of also a networking thing, isn't it? Like, a lot of the teachers know casting directors and that kind of thing.
Sure, yeah, or managers and agents. One of my teachers, Sarah Mornell, one of the first things she focuses on is helping you build connections to find... Because if you don't have representation, it's really, really hard to get into doors.
Right.
So you can, you know, go to casting workshops and try to meet casting directors that way, but the best way is to have an agent and or a manager that can try to get you into rooms.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's really, really tough to find those connections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know some people are like, I don't need acting classes. I get, you know, I know how to act, but I think it's about more than just...
Yeah. And even if you, you know, went to an acting conservatory in college, sure, you know a lot already.
Yeah.
But it's not so much about learning new techniques as it is about continuing to hone the techniques that you've already learned.
Yeah.
That, you know, acting is a little bit like going to the gym, that if you haven't gone to the gym in 2 months, you're going to be pretty out of shape. If you haven't acted in 2 months, you're going to be pretty out of shape.
Does it differ, though? Because I imagine you can go in for one thing and you're going to have to use a certain skill set, and then you go in for something else and it's a completely different situation.
Yeah, comedy versus drama. If you have to, like, break down crying in an audition, it's very different than trying to make someone laugh.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is that, I mean, do they kind of teach you how to switch gears or?
Yeah, it's practice and staying, I don't know, staying fresh.
Yeah. Fresh is good.
Fresh is good. Yeah. And so, classes can be a great way, and rehearsing with classmates, to just keep honed, I suppose. Yeah.
Is there a difference between, you know, doing it on camera as opposed to doing, like, singing in front of a group of people in an auditorium or something like that?
Yeah, and acting for stage and for camera is extremely different as well. I don't want to give away too many secrets or anything, but in a big film like Pitch Perfect, we record beforehand.
Right.
We record in a studio. It's not live.
So it's kind of like doing a music video for those?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, there are moments where singing is live, like the shower scene in the first Pitch Perfect where Anna and Brittany did sing live.
Right.
But for the most part, you sing in a studio, and then it's perfect.
Yeah, the pitch is perfect.
Well, and they do what they call playback, where you now. Do you have like earbud or earwigs?
No,
in some of it or
no, it's just played back through monitors and speakers.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
And then the most important thing is to not mouth the words, but actually sing them. You still actually sing.
We're all
actually singing.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you mouth the words, you can tell
that it's fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know what he wants that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I worked on a musical pilot actually this year called Songbird, and a lot of it was them playing instruments live.
Oh.
Which was very interesting, especially with like dealing with sync and like going.
Oh,
you
I bet.
Know, it was kind of a nightmare. But yeah, I mean, we had to deal with playback all the time, and like they had earwigs where they could hear themselves and stuff like
I
that.
I believe Anna and Brittany did have earwigs for the shower scene, but it was still live. It's right. Earwigs help a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And so those are just like in-ear monitors, basically.
In-ear monitors, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Is everybody singing, like, those are the actual people singing? Like, there's no, I mean, do they ever have musicians come in and, you know,
everybody sings their own solos.
Right.
In the Bellas. And in any group, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know you watch, like, Disney movies sometimes and, you know.
Or like
the actress is talking, and then all of a sudden the singing voice.
Yeah,
you're like, wait a second.
That up. I'm singing in a Disney show the next two Thursdays at Rockwell, and I'm singing Reflection from Mulan.
Okay.
And I'm singing the Christina Aguilera version, but I did look up the other version that's within the movie and found out that the actress and the singer for that movie were different. I was like, oh,
yeah.
What do you know?
That's interesting.
I guess little kids probably don't care. They don't notice.
Wait a second.
I didn't at the time.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Works.
In Back to the Future, Marty McFly singing at the end of Back to the Future was Marty McFly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It drives, I'm a musician, it drives me crazy when I watch stuff, and I can totally tell. Either the sync is not, I'm a drummer, and so when I watch and I'm like, he just hit a crash cymbal, but that was the ride cymbal that they were playing on screen, so I have no clue, and I'm probably the only person in the room that cares.
Yeah. Next time that happens, I'd like you to tell me. Because
I will flip out.
Yeah.
You'll see it. Anyway.
Well, hopefully you'll be satisfied with all of the musical components of
I will, if
Fish
not,
Perfect 2.
I'll shoot you an email,
okay,
and you can
cool.
forward
cool.
it on to the studio and Elizabeth and everyone else, and
great.
Make it super awkward.
No, we actually do have a great musical team for Pitch Perfect 2.
I bet, because music is like a big part. I mean, it's like when people, you know, watch Glee, like then they're going on iTunes and downloading the songs and stuff like that. It's like it's kind of fun to have the music part of it appreciated as much as the story.
And it was really fun on Pitch Perfect. Two of the guys from the sing-off work for Pitch Perfect, or the two of the main musical guys, Deke Sharon and Ed Boyer. They're the biggest a cappella guys ever. I would say in the century, but acapella, you know, wasn't a huge deal before. Yeah,
true.
And so having them on set was, you know, we're in good hands.
Yeah.
They're great.
That's awesome. Have you ever done musical theater?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love musical theater. I just did just a part of it, but Rocky Horror.
Oh, nice.
At Rockwell, which
cool.
was so fun.
Wow.
And then it was 2 years ago now, but I did a Spring Awakening production here at the Hayworth, which no longer is in business.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
So
sad. Yeah. But I absolutely love it. There's something really special about performing for a live audience.
Yeah.
It's the tangible connection is something you really miss when doing film.
I did musicals in high school and in college, and it was fun because you get the live audience reaction to it. But it's also fun because if you do something one night and, you know, an idea pops in your head and you can try it differently the next night. It's like you still have that opportunity. Whereas on film, I feel like you do something and then you go home and you go, I could have done it this way or that
way.
And you sort of have that opportunity to.
Sure. Yeah. You try to prepare enough to know exactly what you want to do. But, you know, when there's improv involved.
Right.
I'm like, that would have been so much funnier if I said that.
Have you done a lot of improv?
I studied at UCB. I did three levels at UCB.
Nice.
Which was great fun. I know many people who are much better at it than I am.
It's hard. It's like really hard.
I admire great improvisers so much. I mean, I grew up watching Whose Line Is It Anyway and just am so impressed with the men and women on that show. I'm glad it's back. Is it still back?
I think it came back. I don't think, was Drew Carey hosting it or was it someone else? I don't know if he was busy spinning the wheel and the prizes. He doesn't spin it. He tells someone else to spin it.
And right. Right.
But yeah, I don't know. You know.
It's, I did it once and it was like, this is, because I'd done stand up for years and I thought, oh, how, it's got to be similar. And no, because you're working with all these other people and it's like having to do stand up on the fly, basically.
Yeah.
And people are telling you what to do stand up about. And it's just,
sure.
And you have to interact with everybody in the audience and, yeah.
Have you done stand up?
No, I have not.
No?
No, I.
It's thrilling.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've done once.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. But, it's I've never done improv.
Yeah, I've never tried stand up. I've watched a lot of it.
Yeah.
Right now, Chris D'Elia is killing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just listened to.
You were at that show, weren't you?
Was
at
I?
The HaHa.
That was him?
Yeah. That's awesome. I was really excited. Not to make it all about me.
I did a set once,
and I invited like all my friends. It was the first time I was doing stand up in LA, and I was super. Excited, so I, like all these different people came, and I went up and I did my thing, and I was terrible. And then Chris goes up and kills it. And after the show, everybody's like, "That guy was hilarious." And I was like, "Thanks for coming to see my show.
Yeah, you were great, but that guy."
Yeah, and he wore an orange hat, and so for years, all the guys in my band, the guy in the orange hat, we should hang out with that guy.
I'm not saying that you were bad.
And the same thing happened with Ken Jeong.
But he was
the amazing. Same club. Yeah.
Yeah,
I emailed Ken Jeong on MySpace. That tells you when that happened. And I was like, thanks for ruining my evening with your hilarity. And he wrote back and he was like, it's cool because Bobby Lee did the same thing to me like 10 years ago. So I don't know. Is it something you'd ever want to try? Is that part of a any desire to?
I don't think so much.
Now, see, here's the thing. And it's not because you're really scared of being in front of people.
No.
But is it because it's just you and your views on something? Is that?
I think I'd just rather sing. I don't know.
What if you sang the jokes? Like, maybe. What's the deal?
There are a lot of acts that do improv with guitar and singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it not Simon and Garfunkel, but Garfunkel and Oates?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to go that route, maybe. And offend everyone.
Stephen Lynch does a lot of stuff with guitars, but
Is there other stuff in entertainment that you would want to try? Or I mean, you've done a lot.
Yeah, one reason I love working on Pitch Perfect, both Pitch Perfect, so much is because I'm not a dancer, but I love to dance. I love it so much, and we actually got to dance in that movie.
Yeah,
even though most of us weren't actual dancers, was so fun to be able to rehearse the choreography and, you know, with some of the best, AJ, Agamon Jones, you know, Hugh Choreographs for Usher, and we got to work with him. I was like, this is my dream.
Do they sprinkle in a few people that like really can dance to sort of, you know, make it look like everybody can dance, or is it pretty much
There are a few girls who had dancing backgrounds, but it wasn't part of the casting process.
Really. Okay. Interesting. So they weren't, I mean, did they ask you, like, can you dance at all? Or was it just, we'll figure it out when we get there?
I think they kind of wanted to figure it out. My friend Shelly, we always look to her to see how to do something.
Nice.
Yeah.
Will we see that on screen, like everybody looking at the same person?
What?
Will we see that on screen, everybody looking in the same direction to...
I mean, I would watch Shelly.
Follow out.
She's got her Beyonce moves down.
Oh, nice.
How did you get that role, actually, on Pitch Perfect? Like, did someone's like, oh, we really like you, and just brought her in? Or did you have to audition as well?
No, I auditioned for Stacey, which is the notoriously slutty girl on... That's a bad word. I don't like that word. But girl? Promiscuous.
Oh.
Promiscuous. Okay. That's a better word for it.
It's the PC.
But it was one of my silliest auditions I've ever done, actually. And some of the things that I had to do in that audition.
What was it? What'd you have to do? You're turning red.
Can you do it for us right now?
No, absolutely not. No.
All right.
they had me sing my audition song, like, I'll never forget basically exact quotes, as though the vibrations of my vocal cords were getting me off.
Oh. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So no, that is why I'm turning bright red. And so I
that's
went
an
for
interesting
it because
note,
you gotta
though.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
Sure.
I could sort of.
Wow.
I can see. You know, that's an interesting approach.
I mean, if you watch Alexis Knapp play Stacy in the movie, if you watch her, you'll understand why they said that. But so I auditioned for that role. And then, you know, it came out in the press that Alexis was cast, and I thought, oh, well, you know, that would have been fun. But
right.
Oh, that's cool. How you find out is the
yeah,
press?
Often, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Your deadline. And
yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Deadline.
Yeah.
And then it was like a month and a half after my audition that I just got a call, and it was a Tuesday, and they said, can you be in Baton Rouge on Sunday? And rehearsals start Monday for wow. The next 2.5 months. So I packed my bags.
Yeah.
And took
yeah.
The red eye that Saturday night and just...
Did they shoot it there too?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, both the first and the second were shot in Baton Rouge.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And because you have to have all that stuff pre-recorded, like there's a lot of time that you have to, like you said, rehearse for 2 months. Like,
yeah, well, the first movie we rehearsed for 3 weeks and the second one I was there 5 weeks early.
Okay.
Before shooting. We had 4 weeks of dance rehearsals and I was there a week ahead of time for some vocal stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you feel kind of, I mean, like when you go in for something like Pitch Perfect or something, do you kind of feel like this is going to be something really special? Whereas sometimes you go in and you're just like, this is whatever.
For Pitch Perfect, I thought it was going to be something special. Having grown up in choir and then a cappella, I did your a cappella for years before that film, and I knew how special the community was. A lot of people didn't at the time.
Yeah.
The sing-off sort of opened the doors for people to see, you know, our little community on the big screen.
Right.
Or your smaller living room screens, I suppose.
Your iPhones.
But I knew how special it could be, and I was familiar with the book, Pitch Perfect. And so everyone in the a cappella community was so excited that it was going to be coming to the big screen. But I think the dynamic on set, everyone was pretty excited about it, but no one had any idea that people would love it this much. It's
right.
So mm-hmm. Wonderful. It's such a wonderful surprise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If there's it a third is. One, I'm going to audition for it.
Do it.
What?
I'm totally going in.
I would love to see you audition for anything.
I would too. You can call my agent and ask her.
You said that the sing-off is going to be back for a fifth season.
It is.
Are you going to be on this season?
Probably not.
Okay.
I might be in the audience watching,
okay.
Supporting.
Yeah, because you were in the first and set two seasons of sing-off, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was in the SoCal's first season and the Backbeats the second season.
Very cool. And you guys got, what, third the
mm-hmm,
second
we got
season?
Third.
I did a little bit of Wikipedia
nice.
Reading, so you know. But we touched on this a little bit, but is there any more advice that you could give to anyone that's trying to get into acting or entertainment in the future? Like if they're listening to this and saying, I want to move to LA, but I don't know where to start.
Yeah, it's tough starting out. I would say get into a good class, both... Sarah Mornell and Leslie Kahn are two of the school/teachers that have helped me a lot, that they both emphasize how important it is to make other connections as well. Like if you don't have an agent and manager going to casting workshops and trying to get in to casting director doors that way, but also just finding ways to make connections with agents and managers, because getting representation is the hardest battle to fight, probably.
Right.
So you're like, I'm great. I've studied so hard. Like, I just need to get in the doors. And that's the biggest problem, is being feeling like you're ready and then not being able to show anyone what you can do. So
right.
As important as it is to be in class and, you know, as I said before, going to the gym, if you don't stay in class,
yeah.
If you don't keep acting, you're going to be out of shape. So keep acting, keep ready. So when you do get an audition, you're ready for it and you're not scrambling and all out of shape.
Right.
But also making as many connections you can, as many connections as you can, and trying to get representation so that they can get you indoors that you can't get in on your own.
Yeah. Do you ever, I work at a management company, so we have a few actors on our roster. Not a ton, but I know a lot of them will, when they get an audition, the sides, which is, for people who don't know, is like the portion of the script that you're going to be reading to audition with, will be sent to an acting teacher or an acting coach, and they'll actually, you know, get coached on the part before they go into audition. I don't know if that's something that you've done or...
I've definitely done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotten a coach for... Especially if it's an audition where maybe... Like, I got a dialect coach recently for an audition where I had to be British.
Okay.
Because, well, I like to pretend to be British sometimes just for fun.
Don't we all?
I wanted to make sure that I was doing it as best as I could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There are people that, like, my specialty is the Cockney accent, and I can tell you how to speak that way.
Right. Yeah. Right. That most of us think British is British, but there are very many different kinds of British accents. Right.
There are dialects.
Different regions and whatnot. We ask our listeners to send in send in tweets or emails about people that we're going to have on. And we have a question from Sam Abbott 1988.
That's a good year.
It is. It's a good
year. That's when I started kindergarten.
89 is better.
Oh, well.
After Workaholics and Pitch Perfect, what's next?
Well, Pitch Perfect 2 is next. Well, we already filmed it, but it is coming out May 15th, 2015. I just worked on a show called RAs, which will be, the date is not released yet, but it will be on Hulu sometime next year. I'm very excited about that.
I don't know if Hulu, do they release everything at once, or is that like a one a week?
Yes, I believe all the episodes will be released at the same time.
Okay, cool.
It's about college RAs, and it's going to be hilarious. I'm just in one episode, but I've read some of the scripts, and they are so funny.
Excellent. Can our listeners go see you if they're in L.A.? Didn't you say you're going to be performing somewhere or something the next couple of weeks?
Well, yeah, the next two Thursdays I'll be at Rockwell Table and Stage with some other singers and singers that I like, definitely hearing them more than I like hearing myself. Some great singers that will be singing Disney songs.
Nice.
You know, both well-known songs and more obscure Disney songs. So that'll just be a fun thing to do on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
8 p.m. next two Thursdays.
Nice.
Right on.
And you're in the premiere of Scorpion on the 22nd.
Oh, yeah, on the 22nd. Right. Yes. Next is basically the next big thing that anyone can watch no matter where they are.
Yep.
Even if you don't have cable. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have an antenna, you can watch it.
Yeah, right? Exactly. CBS at 9 p.m., Scorpion.
Yeah, and it's you know, I'm just in one scene, but the entire show is great.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people are going to like it.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, thank you for being our show
today. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you. And you guys take a look at the website.
Yeah.
You know?
It's earlycalltime.com.
Subscribe. And we'll talk to you soon.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.